Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming, with your host, Shannon Holiday, and me, Letitia Thomas.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming. I am your host, Shannon Holiday, and I'm joined in the studio bright and early with Letitia Thomas. How are we doing this morning, Tish?
Oh, I feel like death warmed up this morning, Shannon.
Oh, right. Yeah. I know.
We got up at 5 a.m. No, 5. We were up and watching the TV.
Mm-hmm.
To watch the Tillies go up against Canada, in a friendly, so it meant nothing.
We also had to make sure
we had a subscription to Paramount.
I know, it's like quickly subscribe. I'm like,
what happened to me?
Yeah,
how did we get here?
Would you have thought this was going to be you about a year ago?
No, I didn't.
Following any sport?
No,
not at all.
No, I was like, nah, that's fine. Yeah. Let's not start that because I'll definitely get into it. And then I accidentally watched a Tillies game and.
World Cup fever did happen, though, for a lot of people.
Yeah, it definitely did.
We've just kept following them since. Yep. I was happy to get up and watch it. It was a good game. We just weren't the better team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm tired, so.
Oh,
I slept badly.
Yeah, same.
Sort of like went to bed at like 11-ish, 11:30, couldn't sleep.
I was the same.
And then just kept waking up all night.
I think.
And then, yeah.
My body did that thing where it's like, oh, I know you have to be up early. So I'm on alert already, which means I have the lightest sleep.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was wild. And like we could have gone back to bed. Like we really could have. It was like it finished at like 7 a.m. It was barely even sun up.
It was so grim.
We could have gone back for a couple of hours, but I was like, no, we're up. Let's get things going today. We can always have an afternoon nap.
Yeah,
as well.
I've got a house inspection in a couple of days, so I need to go and
you need to clean.
Not me,
not this guy.
No.
He's going to be doing a bit of editing and napping.
Real estate agents that barely look at your house.
They come in and take a photo and go, the house is still standing.
Oh, yeah, I wish that was ours because, like, I keep my house clean, but.
Yeah, yours is very particular.
Deep cleaning.
Yeah, you have a list of instructions, like, exactly what needs to be cleaned.
Yeah, it's mental.
Ours is like ballpark figure. Like, yeah, I guess clean the couch. I don't know.
Yeah, no. They're so anal, but let's not talk about that.
No.
In detail.
They could be listening. Our landlords could be listening. Who knows? Tell me about your week, Tish. What has been on your radar? What has been happening?
I spent most of the day Friday staring at a wall in like a... I was reworking a TV series that me and my friend are writing, friend of the show.
Yep.
And yeah, I'd gotten, you know, poster board and gridded out all the episodes and was just like, you know, when you see,
did you have that felt?
Basically, yeah, it was like almost, when cops are solving a crime and they've got their whiteboard and they're like, just randomly like throwing crap onto the wall. Like, oh, here's a post-it note here. Scribble this down here in this color, and it was just.
Do you still have it up?
No, but I did take a photo. I can show you.
That's what I was going to say. Please send me a photo of this setup.
I just imagine how
manic your.
I don't know where the hours.
Pinterest board was went. For this like, project.
It was just one of these things where I was like, oh, like hours have gone by and I still am no closer. So, like.
Well, that was my next question. It was like, how did you go with the writing on Friday?
This is what it looked like at one point.
Okay, so I'm looking at quite a number of like post-it little notes on a board.
And then I took another photo and it looks truly like a, why is there a-
like a serial killer's wall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
photos of the same person 50 times, like in different poses.
Like, look at this.
Oh my God, that is so much worse than the first one.
I know.
That just tells me exactly what your mental state was at during this time.
Yeah, so I then called my friend and was like, hey, before I type any of this out, I just need you to tell me if it's good or if
need
it's
some rework.
Not good. And she's like, no, it makes sense. So I guess something came out of it. But yeah, the hours just went and I was just sort of sitting like not knowing where to put. Yeah, it was.
Not a good time.
Yeah.
Not a good time.
That's been my weekend.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Eventful.
the rest of the week, I don't know. I watched some things.
We did watch some things. We'll go through a couple of them in a sec, but I'll tell you that what I had a very productive day yesterday. For me, I washed my car. Now that doesn't seem like, that seems like a pretty mundane thing. It's been probably about 6 months since I'd done it last.
Yeah, I found that video.
Oh yeah, because I sent you. Okay, so last time I washed my car, we've got a security camera out the front of our place, which looks at exactly where we park it to wash it next to the hose and all that. Last time, the security footage managed to capture me completely falling over the bucket of water and tipping it everywhere and me nearly falling ass on my ass. And
yeah, it was good. It was a gift.
It's been captured and it's been sent to you and you've got that safely put.
Yeah, I showed my grandma last night. She had a good laugh.
Did she? Yeah. Yeah, it's very funny. Yeah. No tripping over the car this time or the water or anything. It's very clean. I'm very proud of myself.
Yeah, good job, Shannon.
And then I treated myself in the afternoon after doing that to building a little bit of Lego. So one thing that the audience isn't aware of, I'm an avid Lego fan. I've got many a set in this house. And we're running out of places to put them. I know you're looking around the house of where all the Lego is. But yeah, well, we will be getting more and don't know where we're going
to
go.
You have to get some shelving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put some more holes in the wall.
No, our landlords could be listening. You said this already. I've already got enough holes in the wall. The dino light is covering up the other one over there. What did we watch? We watched Hundreds of Beavers.
We did. We watched Hundreds of Beavers.
So this was given to us by our good friends, Walkden Entertainment. So thank you very much for that. We got early access to see that one and we've both watched it separately. So we're allowed to talk about it now because it's at cinemas. I loved it, but it's not for everyone. This is a very slapstick style film, black and white. Supposedly, like, imagine a movie set in like the 1920s. It's a fever dream of short little skits put together to create a running story for 2 hours.
Kind of like if Looney Tunes had live action, but it's one live action. Well, no. There's three characters in it in terms of humans. You've and got
the rest is
the lumberjack.
Yes.
The guy that like
runs the store
and then his daughter.
Daughter, yeah.
Who our lumberjack sort of
falls in love with.
And then you've just got
hundreds
of beavers. There's some rabbits, squirrels,
wolves,
skunks, wolves. And they're all people in giant like suits.
Imagine furries. Like
it's and that's just it. And then it's like Looney Tunes.
It's just frantic in terms of like skits and slapstick comedy. Like I can't even describe some of the stuff they do because there's so many things happening so quickly.
Yeah.
It is so geniusly made though. Not a single word is ushered in the entire film. It's all just, you know, physical comedy. But it was really well done and I loved it. I thought it was really good. There's like a featurette on YouTube of like how this was made.
Ooh, I have to check that out.
Check it out. So I'm pretty sure the main guy that acts in it and I'm pretty sure the store owner are the two people that made this film.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them, I think like 2 winters to film it. So like 1 year, then the next, but it took them 4 years in post to put this together. Yeah,
there would have been a lot of editing. Because there's only
two of them. And some of the footage you see of them like behind green screens and like where they get like the eye shots and stuff and putting them all together is really cool to watch how they make it come together. So props to the people making this because there is some heart in it. It's really cool. Really worth checking out.
I can't wait to go and check that out.
I hope it's still in cinemas for the people that are listening now for the episode when this drops. It dropped on the 12th, so this will go about in about 2 weeks after that. So probably about the 26th or something around then. If it is still in cinemas, do yourself a favor. Like just go treat yourself to like a fun film. It's wild and wacky and just fun. I don't know. Just check it out.
Yeah, and then if it isn't and you've missed it, make sure to like find it when it ends up on streaming.
It will be, yeah.
Or like physical media, you know, just
have
at it. It's fun.
It's a lot of fun. I'm glad they made it. It's good.
Yeah, it's one of a kind. It's truly just, singular in that sense. Like no one else is doing it.
Yeah, it's very unique.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I got to watching. I watched a couple films for the Amy Poehler topic, which we'll get into a bit later. I watched the first Anchorman, actually, because I wanted to get into the second one, but yes. You know, time didn't permit. I had a good time with Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy. I'd never seen it.
Yeah.
So it came out when I was young.
It's like 06 or something 04. Like that? 04. Is it 04?
Yeah, and wow. It was sort of quoted a lot at school. So I knew the bits, but I didn't know the context.
I was quoting it at you in the car. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, you've clearly seen this.
And I was like, yeah, this holds up.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Like, it's very good.
Yeah, I love it. It's a timeless comedy. It's very funny. And I love what it's trying to make fun of. It's perfect. Acting's phenomenal from everyone.
Yeah, no one breaks.
No.
Like, they're all so serious in the insanity that is
everyone.
What they're doing. Like, no one is even remotely breaking. It's fantastic.
They just released this on 4K. Yes. In Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw it in one of the stores the other day.
I was thinking of what review I can write and how I can get away with not being man too punted naughty.
Baxter. Yeah.
And I was like, maybe I'll just review it as T. McGee.
Yeah.
I was like, so how good. Can I PG review this?
There's a few things you can know, do, but yeah. Very good film. And I'm going to probably pick it up because it's one of my classic favorites. Because this came out when I was 14.
Yeah, I was 7.
Yeah.
I was a baby.
This is prime, like, real estate for my age group.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So I had a ball with it. I'm glad you saw it. I'm glad you finally saw Anchorman.
I know, it's one that I've been meaning to watch for forever, but you just kind of...
There's a few movies like that.
You just kind of watch it, yeah.
Yeah, you just miss some, and I guess that's one of them for you. I have something to talk about. I went to the cinemas this week.
I really want to go see this one in cinemas.
I went and saw Twisters. With Glenn Powell and Daisy Edgar Jones. Really good. Really good things.
Yeah.
So it holds up well as being like nostalgia bait from people who did love Twister from 1996, but also just bringing in a lot of like energy and a lot of action, a lot of fun for new people coming to the franchise. It's really well done. It's really well acted. The CGI is pretty close to probably the second for this year after Dune.
Okay, cool.
It looks legit, and I rate this film very highly. Definitely go check it out. It's really good. It very much has like a same kind of like that 90s kind of disaster movie feel like the original Twister did, and that's what I was going in for. So I was very happy.
No, I'm excited. I'll have to try and make time at the end of the week if I can to go see it. Just this week's been...
It's been one of those weeks for you.
Been a bit mental. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah. I don't think I saw anything else too wild, really. I saw Twisters and I was happy with that. And
yeah, I did finish last week watching Troppo. I don't know if I mentioned.
I said I was watching. But not finished it.
Oh, my God. I want more of it. I love it so much. And yeah. I miss Aussie TV. I know we talked about it last week, but like, having watched something that's good, I'm like, I just want
more of that quality.
More that's good, yeah, and that kind of feel like where stuff isn't like, oh, if I get another season, I have to wait 3 years.
That's the unfortunate part.
If it comes back, and then I'll watch it in a weekend again, and then that's it. Like, yeah. I don't know. I like it when you get to keep people sort of quote unquote in your living room for a while.
Yeah, it's good when it's, you know, it's like yearly. Like,
yeah,
that's the best part about American TV is when you get shows that have seasons and you know it's pretty regular. It's gonna come back next year. Like you're safe to bet on that. Whereas Australian TV is never guaranteed just because of the funding and stuff like that.
Speaking of American stuff, I actually do need to pull my finger out and get to watching The Bear season 3.
It is out.
It's been out for like a week.
About that. I've seen a lot of the advertising for it when like Disney Plus is being advertised on certain things, and I'm like, oh, spoilers, don't tell me that.
Yeah.
I'm like, because I'm still in season 1, like, don't tell me that they've got a fancy new restaurant. What's happening? Don't show me.
Did you start it?
I have started it, yeah. Interesting. I have started it. I haven't finished it yet, though.
No.
It's good. It's very frantic.
Yes.
It's very frantic.
Yeah, it gives me PTSD from when I worked in a cafe.
It's a rush, isn't it? But it's good. Ooh. It's a very good show. I can see why it's winning all those awards when the Emmys come around, and I'm sure it will again come September.
I think so.
I think it's going to win a lot.
I don't know what else is like up.
Well, Succession isn't in.
I know.
House of the Dragon?
Yeah, it could be.
House of the Dragons this year. So yeah, that'll be in there for a lot of stuff as well.
I need to watch House of the Dragon. I'm not a Game of Thrones girl. I just kind of just missed the boat.
I'm halfway through season one of House of the Dragon, but then when they did the time split thing and they changed actresses, I was just like, sure, whatever. I'll get back to this.
Yeah, I only ever watched part of the first episode on Christmas, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while.
But then it was like, oh, hang on, family's over, like go to Christmas stuff after the nap period. So yeah. I just didn't never go back on.
Well, at least it's not like Game of Thrones where it's like, oh, 8 seasons.
Well, that's why I never caught up with Game of Thrones because I was like, whatever, it tanked.
And
the
also,
ending.
Yeah, which you would have heard that it's the ending is kind of ruins a lot of things. Yeah. The first couple of seasons, though, absolute top quality TV.
Oh, I watched a season and a half.
Some of the best that's ever been made, but it just quickly, once it gets past the books, just.
Well, it didn't help that when I was watching it too, like, I knew kind of what had happened. I was like, oh, you know, this happens to Joffrey. This is the Red Wedding. Like, I knew.
Yeah, going each week when that was happening, it was really cool. But, you know, that's the thing with TV shows. Once they're all out, you can kind of find out what happened, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's most things.
I know, but like week to week, and if you're watching it that day, you're like, well, I'm watching it at the same time as everyone else.
Yeah, no spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers. Should we get into the topic?
Yeah, why the hell not?
I'm very excited for this one. When we were kind of last week putting together, like, we readjusted a few episodes.
Yeah.
Just to give us more time to watch certain upcoming episodes watch lists.
Yeah.
And we looked at one and we went, Amy Poehler. We've watched most of her stuff. We kind of love her.
Yeah. I'd missed quite a few of her films, which I hadn't realized until I went and looked through all the stuff she'd done. So I had a lot of fun this week.
Yeah. You watched a couple more than me, but I've seen most of the big ones.
The older stuff,
The older, bigger stuff, yeah. And enough to definitely make a cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
We know what she's like. You know, we've seen a bunch of her SNL skits.
I love her so much.
We've seen the bigger ones as well that she's done. You know, that she's one of the big voices out Inside Out and stuff. So everyone's got a kind of an idea of Amy Poehler, you know? I think she's...
Yeah, she's just like...
She's iconic in the comedy scene.
And that's what I think I'm so impressed by her about. And I think this was sort of me finishing high school and I started watching Parks like within my last pretty much like couple of weeks of grade 12. So I was like, oh, I know Amy Poehler now. And, and I was starting to get into her stuff. And I think I was just so impressed that she'd got where she's got at the time as a woman without kind of losing any of herself as well. Cause she's still like,
she's the exact same.
She's like, yeah, I'm the exact same. And she's still like, an incredible feminist. And at the time it was 2014. So that was like I was like, do I like feminism at the time? I was like, I am a feminist because I can do things that boys can do, but like, I don't like girls. Anyway, but kind of what it was. Yeah. Shannon, don't look at me like that. What it sort of was like, she could still have this career, still be an incredible feminist, but at the same time was just Amy.
Yeah.
And
I think she was
still
just
supporting other people
herself.
And just true to herself. And just, she did so well. And
yeah,
her and Tina as a, sort of
as a duo, for
duo, that. Just
so funny,
and I was like, "Oh, this is kind of aspiring."
Yeah,
you know, right? Like someone who's just done so well. And then I went and read a book.
How was the book? I haven't read it.
I desperately want to reread it now that I'm a lot older. Because at the time I was 17.
Yeah,
no, I don't think I was even 18 yet. And so there was a lot. There were chapters where she was talking about it. You know, she'd had kids at one point,
right,
and I was like,
right.
"Okay, cool." Like.
Yeah,
I don't,
you know,
I don't
the
know
impact
how
of
is.
That.
Yeah.
What it would have been like.
What it would have been like to have kids. Because I was like, okay, so she's got kids, like whatever.
Does it go through like the startup with the improv and stuff?
Yeah, there's a lot of her stuff with the Upright Citizens Brigade and her time on SNL, which now I think.
Appreciate better.
Yeah, because I understand sort of what it is to be an adult sort of in that world. And she's talking about, you know, all like the debauchery that you sort of used to go on in like old school SNL and that. But I think what I took from her at that point in my life was her book is Yes Please, and that's sort of how she approaches her life because she's from, you know, improv and everything's like a yes and. And her whole thing was like, just try stuff because the worst thing that can happen is you learn something about yourself and you go, okay, I don't like that or I'm not good at that or something. And at like 17, coming out of high school, not really knowing what the hell I'm doing in a quote-unquote adult world, like that was
Too confronting.
It was good. No, it was really good advice. So I just was like, okay, I'm doing like film stuff and I don't know how to go and do camera operating in a multicam.
Learn
but do you want to go shoot this production? Yes, cool.
Yes.
I'll do that. So that kind of mentality at a young age.
It's like when I asked you to do a podcast.
Exactly.
Sure, why not?
That's how I end up in this shit.
Yeah, that's how you end up in these
situations.
I'm a
writer, now I'm a podcaster. Yeah, it's
exactly.
All like from Amy Poehler's Yes Please, like just go try it. And then I'm like, oh God, I'm
it's a, great mentality
a year and a half in and now what, you know, but it's good fun.
Yeah. I have a question for you. You watched a particular movie this week and I want to talk to you about it because it was one of her first and I think it was 2001. It's called Wet Hot American Summer.
I love this. I've never seen it before. Yeah.
So this started off a bunch of different comedic actors before their fame hit.
Yeah.
A bunch, like a heap. It's also phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a fantastic film. I'm like, I need this. I need to see all the sequels they've done because I didn't get that far this
week. They're on Netflix at least. You can see them.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, I need to get amongst this. And I think there's something phenomenal about that group of comedians in particular. They kept being in everything together.
Yeah, that's what I love about
it. For so many years and then, you know, some of them ended up on it. Were they already in SNL at that point?
No, 2001. No. So it was, so I think they just did after that.
Getting all into SNL together and they just, it's this beautiful group of outstanding comedians that was 2001, it's 2020, whatever the hell we are now, 24. It's
13 years since this was made.
And they're still the biggest names in comedy. And that's impressive and fun too.
It's very fun. It's basically like, it's like a satire of like
summer camp.
Teen comedy sex romp summer camp films. And it's beautifully
it's
done.
It's so funny.
It just toes the line perfectly. It's balanced perfectly between satire and like legitimately.
Yeah. It's a satire, but it's not, like you were saying, it's not a satire in like a, haha, this is dumb. It's got heart and truth.
At the same time,
In the sense of like most narrative films have.
Yeah.
That grounds it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I think actually the closest I've come to seeing this now, I think, is Theatre Camp.
Yeah, it's very, very similar vein. I haven't seen Theatre Camp, but I've seen a trailer. Yeah, it's very similar. Very similar. This is Bradley Cooper's first film.
Is it his first?
It's his first film. So if you're a fan of Bradley Cooper, he's in this. Check it out. it's wild.
I love
so many different people.
That Amy in that one is like, she's the theater girl.
Yeah.
And she's just like a bit neurotic.
Yeah, she plays it up very well. Yeah. There's just so many characters in this too.
Yeah, it's just everyone is
Christopher
in it.
Maloney from Law and Order, SVU.
Yes, that's the thing.
Stabler's in this.
I saw him in, what else was he in?
They Came Together.
Yeah, that's the other one that I watched this week.
Same director, same writers.
Same crew.
I don't think that one landed as well.
No.
But
baffled me because before that I'd only seen him in SVU. Stabler. I didn't know he did comedy.
Yeah, right?
And now I'm like, what
he's
the
so
heck?
Funny though.
No, he's so funny.
The scene out of They Came Together where he he's in a onesie suit and he shits himself in the suit. So the next scene he's just wearing a bathrobe and then someone's like, why is your like suit in the bathroom with shit in it? And he tries to explain his way out of it. It is some of the funniest things I've ever seen.
It's him not being able to reach the zip at the back.
Yeah,
and
which
the
is
panic.
Really funny. Yeah, the panic because he has to go to the bathroom.
You kind of, everyone's been there,
been in
but
a onesie.
No one has necessarily been to where he gets. And it's like, oh my God, this is why
more
it's
of a fear
so unlocked.
Funny.
Because you're just like, oh no, you know where it's going.
Yeah. And then he tries to explain his way out of it. And he's like, shame on you all. Shame on you all. Someone must have just done it to my thing. And then he leaves.
Oh my God.
He's funny. He's very funny. I wish he did more comedy stuff.
Yeah, now I'm like, why are you not a comedian?
Why are you not
sir?
A comedian? You are genius. And then he plays the boss with the overall kind of straps like they do in Wall Street with the Gordon Gekko kind of outfit when he's the boss in the boardroom. So good. I know we're getting off track there, but Christopher Maloney's phenomenal. But she's also good in this.
Yeah, I don't think it landed.
Yeah, they came together, wasn't it? It's the same idea. It's that satire of a genre. So it's satiring like rom-coms of like the early 2000s, kind of that style. I don't know. For me, what didn't land is I think Paul Rudd in particular, who's a great actor, I think he played it too sincere. So therefore it wasn't satire anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a self-awareness when you're playing something knowing it's satire, so therefore it comes across as, okay, we're both aware of what's happening.
Yep.
He played it too sincere, so I was like, no, you're actually in a rom-com. Like, yes. He played it well, but like, you know what I mean, what I'm trying to say there?
It was one of those things where, I mean, everyone in it is incredible, but I think it's an idea that is better like an SNL skit, yeah, shorter. And because sure, it ran for, God, an hour and a half.
It was an hour and a half, yeah.
There were moments where you were like, oh, I'm done now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
some moments were great.
Well, we watched the trailer, and I think the trailer was funnier because there was no context for
why they were doing certain
things. Amy's shaving her chin.
And why she fell down the stairs. Which I think is funny because it's like, oh, I'm clumsy. Yeah. And it's like, okay, cool.
How many times has she fallen down something so in the many pit, times in Wine Country?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Which I watched recently.
God, I love her so much.
She's so funny.
What was your first, like, Amy Poehler? Like, what was the first time you'd seen her?
Two things. Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
I haven't seen that yet. I'm so sorry.
I saw that very young. So it came out in 1999. So that was her first film before Wet Hot, but she's only in like one scene.
Okay, cool. So I haven't missed much.
You could literally just YouTube that one scene.
I kind of want to.
She plays one of the dates who's got Tourette's.
Oh, yeah.
So he goes to a baseball, like she's worried about going out and going on dates because she's got Tourette's. She does definitely play it perfectly like Amy Poehler would. But he's like, a genius idea would say take her to a baseball game. So she goes and she starts doing her thing, but then the team gets behind her because she's just yelling at players and they all think she's just abusing some of the players. And so she has a good time, and then it's like part of the thing where he's like doing really well with his job.
Right.
So you don't really see it for that long. Really good. Other than that, the second thing is Mean Girls.
Yeah, that was my introduction to Amy.
Mean Girls.
And the minute I'd started seeing her in other things, I was like, oh my God, the work that they did to her. And that, like, she looked so old, but she was so young at the time.
Yeah. So 2004?
Yeah.
Yeah. So 3 years after Wet Hot.
I didn't see it then because I was 7 when that came out. So I saw it a bit later.
I think I saw it at the cinema.
Oh my God, I wish I'd seen it at the cinema. I watched it in high school. I wrote an assignment on it because I knew my mom wouldn't let me
see it,
watch it, but it was part of our curriculum. So I just, someone gave me a copy and I just watched it. And
USB stick.
No, I think it was legit, actually.
Oh, but really?
I had to write an assignment on it, like quoting her. And
she's genius as the mom.
She's genius. Do you girls want anything?
Yeah. The chihuahuas is biting a nipple. What? So good. Very funny. But that was my first time seeing her on the screen. And then I think it was a lot later that I realized that the 2 and 2 put together was her from there.
I think so. I think her and Mean Girls as Regina's mom was like the first that most people of our generation saw her in. And God, is it beautiful.
It's fantastic. And then obviously after that it was Parks.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec. Because that was 2009, I think, that started.
I love.
Ran for about 6 years.
She is, I think, is one of her, obviously it's one of her best performances as Leslie. It's her most iconic. But she played that character, especially getting into season 2 once they figured out
the character, yeah.
She plays it with so much heart that you can't help but.
Yeah, the character's so endearing.
Adore her so much.
Yeah.
In a character that could have just been easily written off as like. Just naive, so silly,
stupid, yeah. Because that was that's what they were still trying to work out in season 1. Lucky it's only 6 apps because
I don't know how she
the what, short hair wait, episode. What you thinking?
She goes to Salvador.
Yeah, she gets the short haircut. It's wild. Like there's some gems in season 1, but they're definitely trying to work out the characters properly. And then it gets to season 2 and it's hits its stride. And she plays it so well.
She is so good.
So
in
many
it.
Iconic moments from that show with her. Everyone should have seen it by now.
If you haven't, go. I know that I'm like, oh, I love all of these shows, but Parks and Rec is one that I think most people will love.
Yeah. If you're a fan of The Office, like it's the same. It's better than The Office. I
think.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely, but it's the same style of show, right? Like it's a mockumentary style show.
And she did that that ran for a while.
Yeah, 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, six seasons.
Six, seven.
Seven, sorry, seven. Seven, yeah.
Seven.
Thinking Community, 6 seasons in a movie.
Yeah, and I think they sort of hit their stride at the time, but I don't think they were appreciated nearly as much as they should have been in hindsight. You know, like you look back and you're like, this show was so iconic, but I guess at the time you had Tina Fey doing 30 Rock.
Yes.
Yes. Julia Louis-Dreyfus doing Veep.
Not the old Christine, the New Adventures of Old Christine.
What?
That came before it. It was another show she did.
Right. But I think she was up against her rivals, her comedy rivals and there best mates.
Very good quality shows out at the time.
Yeah, same, and comedy was very, it was sort of a narrow idea of what comedy was, or maybe narrow is the wrong word, but it was easily identifiable. Now, like now you've got stuff like The Bear in
even
comedy,
the Bear's considered which is comedy.
At times, yes, but not like a traditional
The comedy. Genre bending has been more prolific.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think Amy and Parks and Rec is just
it's top tier.
It's top.
Shall we talk about Inside Out, like her voice work?
Yeah, let's do that. Because like I've seen a lot of her voice work, which I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen the Squeakquel.
I have not seen Alvin and the Chipmunks. She's in two of them, apparently. She's in Chipwrecked as well.
I might have seen both, but
I need to sit down and watch these three films. I don't know if I need to, I want to
figure out, like, I want to see her bits in it, but I'm like, do I need to watch that now I'm an adult? Like, as a kid, the voices don't annoy you. You think it's the best thing. And then
you get to an
adult. You get a bit older and it's like,
it's piercing.
Oh. I can't handle this anymore. I've seen her in Horton Hears a Who. I've seen her in Monsters vs. Aliens.
I have seen that,
Bits, I think. Shrek the Third. She's in that.
I can't remember which part she plays. I've seen Shrek the Third, must probably. Be. Yeah, no, she is. She is one of the. Yeah.
She's Sleeping Beauty.
I think so, yeah.
Or someone.
That's
she was in Hoodwinked, apparently.
It's the weakest Shrek film.
I don't think I've seen Hoodwinked 2. I've seen the first one.
She's done a lot of voice acting because she's got a very iconic voice. She's got a very.
And I think.
Particular voice style that plays well into. Animated movies.
I think she was doing a lot of this stuff when her kids were young, her boys were young, which makes sense because it's quote unquote easy work and that they do relatively well. It's good money. And shorter hours, I guess, because it's all vocal. So you
don't have
to
be on set like at like 5 a.m.
Yeah. Because I think her and Will Arnett split and I don't know their parenting thing was happening at the time. But I assume that it's obviously a lot harder when you split, right? Mm-hmm. Like looking after kids. So I guess after Park, she kind of just did less on very, screen.
Very odd pairing.
Yeah.
Like, I know they're both comedy actors, but it's just an odd pairing between, like, her and him. Very different styles of comedy, too, between the two of them. Like, his is very aggressive.
He's in Parks, too, at one point.
Yeah, he is. He's the doctor.
Yeah.
It's like, are you very fertile? Yeah. Something like that, yeah. Gross. And also, obviously, Blades of Glory, they play the couple.
Yeah, I need to see that.
They do some projects together.
I didn't get there, which is kind of disappointing.
In your own time, definitely watch. If you liked Anchorman, it's kind of in the same vein.
Yeah, I think I went to watch it, but then I was like, oh, I need sleep. I'm getting up at five.
Oh.
And then I didn't sleep.
So, yeah.
I don't think you've watched it, but I watched it this week. I watched Baby Mama.
I didn't get a chance to. I looked everywhere for it, but
yeah,
it's
I ended up paying to watch it like on Google or something. her and
Tina Fey,
and honestly, I need to like buy this on eBay or something. It is so, so genius. So the concept is Tina Fey is like this like rich businesswoman, and she missed her chance having kids, and now she's a bit old, and her uterus is T-shaped, so now she can't have kids. It's mentioned a few times. So she ends up reluctantly going down the surrogate route, and she hires white trash Amy Poehler to be her surrogate.
Yeah.
But what happens very quickly is Amy Poehler and her boyfriend, played by Dax Shepard.
Of course. He's also that type of, could pull off white trash very convincingly.
They have a split and suddenly Amy's living in Tina's apartment and trashing it and ruining it. And Tina's like, you need to be eating healthy food.
Great concept.
And tries to
it's like The Odd Couple.
Yeah. And about halfway through you come to realize, oh no, Amy's not pregnant. But you got to figure this out quick because it's pretty obvious if you're not pregnant when you should be.
So she fakes it?
Yeah, it goes along that route. Yeah, I don't want to tell the ending because it's not worth – well, it is worth it, but it just makes it less worth it. God, it is it is pure gold.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone hits their marks. It's written incredibly well. And I'm kind of mad that I never watched this years ago. Because it's one that you knew, Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, work couple,
that's what I assume. Mama. Like, I was like, oh, okay. Like, I've seen Sisters, I've seen a bunch of their other stuff that they work together in. I just hadn't got to Baby Mama.
I liked Sisters in that they all had a lot of fun.
You tell they had fun on set.
It's a solid film.
No,
like,
it's not very good. I gave it a 2.
I think I've seen it twice. I think I saw it when it came out because I loved them. And then I think I saw it again a couple of years ago just to like refresh.
I feel like it's just that it like it's probably their weakest pairing.
I think so.
Yeah.
But also like, you know when you know that two people are best mates and they're having the most fun that you can
you could tell.
You enjoy watching it even if it's not great, you know? It's like enjoyable in a different way. Which I think similar with Wine Country, which you watched last night.
Yes, which is what I'll talk about now is Wine Country is her first directorial debut.
How do we say it like
that? I don't know. I'd love saying it that way.
Anyway.
I didn't love it, but I said to you before we started recording it, like I wasn't the demographic that this film was made for. But
no, me either. I'm
like I can still watch a film and go, you know, take in what the story is and blah, blah, blah. It just, I don't know. I think it suffered from not the best script. I think the script was pretty poor because these five or six, Tina Fey included, seven actresses are some of the best comedic actresses of all time.
Oh, it's
right?
Incredible. You've got Paula, Maya Rudolph, Rachel Dratch,
Paula Pell,
Tina. Like,
yeah. They've got a stacked cast.
They're all that SNL era, exactly. Which we'll get to probably at some point.
They should have everyone in stitches.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel that. I didn't laugh. I just don't know. Because it's a comedy. It's still a comedy, yeah. Right? But it just suffers from weak writing. I think it played it too safe. Like, there were moments where it's like, just go harder in that joke. Go a little bit harder. Land that a little bit more aggressively. And that would have been really funny. But they just played it safe because they were going for that, like, 50 to 60 age group. And they didn't want to offend. They just want to have a light, like, oh, yes, you watch this with your, you know, have some wine and watch it with your friends. Like,
yeah, I think it was for people that weren't, I mean, obviously it's for people that were familiar with these guys. Of course they're going to watch it anyway, but they were trying to make a film for the people that didn't know who they were, I think. Because anyone that is well familiar with their stuff and seen all their half their SNL stuff or whatever knows that these guys can just take something and just run with it until it's so far inappropriate and then just bring it back kind
of thing.
That's
exactly like, right. And that's what I was, I think, expecting because there's so many chances for them, all of them, to like just go off script a little bit and just push the boundaries, but they just don't.
Well, because they're all improv, right?
Well, exactly. They're all improv, so they can do it and they can work off each other so well because they know each other for like 20, 30 years. So they can get each other's beats, but it just wasn't happening because it was just, I don't know. There's just something key missing would have been really good. And you could have been like, oh, Wine Country, it's hilarious. But yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those ones that sort of a little bit disappointing.
I feel like even Tina Fey's character, who's only in it for like two or three scenes, and she plays like really rough as guts, like house owner that they rent from.
That's right. Yeah, I'm trying to recall it because it's been a long time since I've seen it.
And she sells like edible bath soaps. It's very weird. But like you could have gone really hard with that as well. But then she's she's like the spiritual guide for a couple of characters. Like they come in and talk to her.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Like
yeah.
Makes them kind of have an arc. There's something good in there. Just needed something else to push it a little bit further. So I was a little bit disappointed because I don't think there's nothing wrong with her directing in this. It was fine. The movie was put together perfectly well. There was some type of weird like Snapchat filter on all their faces though, if you watch it again.
I did see that in I was looking at Letterboxd trying to jog my memory and I saw a lot of people had said that and I was like, oh.
Well, I was watching, I was like, they've smoothed out some of their faces a little bit. I was like, oh, don't do that. That's the point of this film is, right? Like it's confronting your 50s.
Yeah.
Right? Like
I think because Amy's done a bit of directing too. She did the Moxie film, which I saw at the time. Didn't love it. Didn't hate it either. I think I was too old for it as well. It was definitely for like
14 to 20.
Yeah, like a younger age. And like sometimes things are just supposed to be for a younger age and that's fine.
Yeah, that's
fine. They're good for girls of that age. And I think going back to Amy Poehler's very much feminist.
Yeah, that's what this film was.
This was for young girls. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? Good for you.
Yeah.
And like, thank you for putting that out there for young kids in a sense of like, not for me, but
definitely it's there.
For someone.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where she goes next in her directing. Because she's only done the two so far, I think.
Yeah, she's directed a little bit. She's produced a bunch. She did
Yeah.
My Favorite Russian Doll. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's a part of that. Yeah.
She tried to do Old Soul way back when it was for NBC.
Which we have both seen the pilot of.
We have.
Which is kind of like a spiritual. Russian Doll's a spiritual successor.
I remember being so excited for that, more because it was polar at the time when I first heard about it. Because I think I'd seen Orange, so I knew who Natasha Lyonne was, and I'd seen her in a couple of things, but wasn't like. Hadn't seen stuff like Russian Doll, which is insanely genius. She hadn't hit that level of her career yet. So I was like, oh my God, she's working with Amy Poehler. I love Amy Poehler. I need to see what this is. And then it fizzled. And then many years later.
Still glad it did.
Oh, I'm so
thankful. This is so much so better
thankful.
Form of that idea.
They then went and did it more and said, you know, Amy said to her, like, if we weren't doing this for a network, what's the show we want to make? And that's how they landed with what they got.
Yeah.
And I'm like.
Genius.
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 Such. A genius thing. I think that's what Amy Poehler does super, super well and has done forever. And you can hear it when you're watching interviews with like Iowa Debris and Maya Hawke off Inside Out. Mm. She champions so many other people coming up and always
that's
has.
Good. She's like a role model.
She's like a role model. She's one of the OGs in it. Mm. But she's like still championing the next kids to come through. And I think that's nice because often you hear like, the horror stories of Hollywood in a sense. Like, and it's nice just to have someone who seems nice and then is nice.
It's two different things.
In that thing, like,
yeah,
where she's, I think she does a lot more than any of us could even think of just behind the scenes for people in the industry.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have someone like this.
It's a good egg.
I don't understand why people like put them down. Like, you know, like, oh, they're up and coming. Oh, better put them in their place.
Yeah.
Like, are you that threatened already? Like, really? Like, oh my God. There's a movie here that's listed in her IMDb, and I've been meaning to see it for so long because there's so many people in it that I'm like, oh, they're all right. Southland Tales. It's so bizarre. It's like a, it's got The Rock. It's got, Sean William Scott, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Justin Timberlake, and Mandy Moore. So bizarre. She's in this for some reason. I don't know, but I kind of want to see it. It's one of those things I've been meaning to see for probably like 10 years and just haven't got around to it.
Southland Tales.
Yeah, it's like a futuristic LA. And yeah, I want to see what it's about.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
No? Okay, well, I'm going to go out of my way at some point and find it. It's got The Rock with hair, which concerns me as well a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I'm like looking at it like, whoa.
It's 2006. So it's been out for a hot minute. I'm going to assume she only has like a bit part in it.
Look at this photo of her.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I don't know what's going on.
Southland Tales. All right.
Sweet. Oh my God. Yeah. We got to find that.
We're going to watch that.
I think I'm just going back and watching so much of her stuff this week. And like, I've watched a ton of her old SNL.
That's right. You did too. Just seeing you sent me a couple.
Genius she is. Like when she plays Caitlyn getting her ears pierced.
That's fantastic.
She is a 10-year-old annoying girl. Like,
that's exactly how they would play it.
100%. She doesn't have that bit in her that you still see in a lot of comedians where they're embarrassed still.
Well, I think that's
like
the thing.
She's able
a good
just
comedian
to
doesn't let their ego come into mm-mm. the character they're playing. So
and she embodies like a 10-year-old annoying girl.
It's so good. She's just sitting screaming in the ear of her stepdad.
I'm not gonna do it. I nearly did it.
Wreck. She's really good in like SNL stuff.
And then like I watched a bunch of her like all of her award show stuff. And I'm like, man, I miss this. Now that I'm at the point where I'm watching a lot of award shows, like, because I have the time and I'm aware of them and stuff. And I'm like, I want that. I want those award shows that I never got to see.
Back, yeah.
I want Paula and Tina Fey.
That was so good. They were funny.
Yeah, they were funny. And people
now
liked
it's like
them.
When you watch an award show and it's usually one of the late night hosts always.
Yeah.
And it's cringe. Like they don't want to be there. They're getting paid for it, but like they're there. And usually it's written poorly jokes. And it's like at least those two girls would work off each other.
Yeah,
and
the amount
make
of
it funny
bit parts they would do
pop in there. Yeah.
Did you see the one where it's when they were getting nominated for best comedy actress, and Amy walks up when they say her name, and they're like no one knew, and they're like, what's going on? And then all of them, have you seen that?
I haven't seen
they
that one.
They all make their way up to the stage and they all stand there and they hold hands like they're like beauty pageant winning. And they're like, we're going to do this together.
That's
and
actually
then
really
Melissa
funny.
McCarthy wins and they're all like hugging her and they give her a crown and like.
Okay, that's really funny. That's a good bit. See, they'll never do that these days.
They never do that, but it's just like harmless fun.
Yeah.
But it is fun. Like everyone in the room.
It's comedy as well. Like that's genius. You know, like that's very good.
Claps them because.
That's funny.
It's funny.
Yeah. No, I'm very much looking forward to seeing where her career goes in the future. I'm sure there'll be a Inside Out 3 with given the popularity of 2.
I hope so.
They still have things they could do.
I think
they could definitely do
and
more.
They took a long time to get to 2.
Yeah.
So I have faith that they kind of will take their time to get to 3, especially now that Disney's changing up its
release cycle.
Whatever.
Well, yeah. Like, look at Toy Story. Even then, they at least get, like, yeah, everyone's probably like, maybe don't need number 5, but at least they wait at least 4 years before they put out, like, you know, another one of their Pixar. Pixar generally takes a break in between doing their. Like franchises ones, like, yeah, look at Cars. Same thing. There's like usually about 4 years in between, at least maybe more sometimes. So I wouldn't say, you wouldn't say Inside Out 3 for like, you know, a couple of years. So I'll give it, it would be probably pretty good. And just anything else that she's in, I'll definitely sign up for. She's very funny.
There's a fair few films of hers that I haven't yet got to see.
Yeah, I got
and
a
couple. I'm kind of happy about that. Like usually I come into these more. And I'm like, all right, we have to watch, you know, 100% of their filmography if we can to get to the point where we can talk about it in these episodes. But I kind of like that I haven't.
Well,
because it means I've got
usually we try more, and usually we can. But I feel like because she's had quite a long career already, there's quite a number of stuff that we were just never going to get to in the time space. There's another one that I wanted to watch as well. Let's see if it's listed here. It's the one where they're like on the beach. And it's got
Spring Breakers.
Yeah,
Spring Breakdown. Yeah,
yeah.
I tried to find this.
I really want to watch that.
It's Parker Posey, Drouch, and then Pola, but Pola's got white lady dreadlocks.
I know, that's why I want to watch it.
I mean, in of itself,
fantastic. Hilarious, sign me up. Sign me up.
I didn't realize she was in Shortcut to Happiness.
What's that one?
No idea. It's got Jennifer Love Hewitt, Alec Baldwin, Anthony Hopkins, Dan Aykroyd. But I remember I used to see the cover of it at work and I think it was like a buck, but now
maybe
it's definitely gone
like,
forever.
Like a bit part
I
in
think,
it.
I think so. It's only 2.4 on Letterboxd. I don't think I missed anything.
No, you could probably just look up her scenes.
Yeah,
it's 2003. It's quite a while ago. That's the thing. I think there's a few from that era that she'll do a couple of scenes in. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what's on the horizon.
Me too. I genuinely love her so much.
Very funny.
She's just...
Yeah. I've been thinking the other day, now that I've recently done Parks and Rec again, I'm literally just about to finish Community on a rewatch. I think I'm going to do 30 Rock next.
I've never seen it.
It's so funny.
I'm very tempted to... We just got a box set come back in at work and it's very expensive, but I'm like, do I get it? Because I know that they got rid of a fair couple episodes off streaming...
Off a particular...
Yeah, because they didn't age well, which... yeah, no, depending. I think better to just put a disclaimer at the front
like
of something.
Like they do for Disney, old Disney films.
And be like, hey, yeah, this isn't cool.
Different time and era,
but
you can still watch the art.
The opportunity to learn from it too. 100%. And be like, oh, yeah, this is why this isn't cool anymore. Yeah.
They made this. It's
and we
cool
probably
anymore,
shouldn't have, but it happened.
It's interesting. I'll look up which episodes they are.
Yeah.
I've seen most of it.
It was a few with blackface, which is
okay.
Only bad. Like, you can't get around that and be like, oh, maybe it's like, no, it's pretty bad.
Okay.
But.
Mustn't have seen that episode.
I kind of want to go, okay, but why did they make those shorts? You know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to make my own.
Yeah. You need to see it to go,
right?
Okay, yes, no, what happened?
Like, arguably bad, but, how did we get here?
Yeah, exactly. Like, interesting.
Yeah.
Besides that, great show.
I do really want to watch it because
it's very good.
I never have. And
there's one scene in particular, and I'll always remember this, is Tina Fey's character,
Liz Lemon,
is, I think she's hungover or something, or she's eating something bad, and she's like throwing up in the toilet. And Alec Baldwin's character, who plays like an exec, he's like very like, you know, proper confident, and he's like, but he doesn't know how to like empathize with her. So he's like, oh no, you're throwing up. But like to give her like help, he like has a broom and like brushing her back with it just to be like, yeah. It's this little thing, little skits in it. It's very good because it's basically it's a sitcom about the making of SNL without calling it SNL.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like there's a show behind that they're making each week, but they don't say it's SNL, but it's basically it's a live show and they've got to deal with the actors on it as well as the writer's room and stuff like that. It's very funny.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. It's got a lot of the sort of
SNL kind of
comedians of the time.
Yeah, so it's basically SNL without calling it anything.
Yeah, I really want to watch this now I'm like,
I feel like Amy Poehler will make an appearance here and there. I can't remember, but she's friends with all of them. So
I think she played someone's like, she plays young Liz Lemon.
Oh, good.
That's amazing.
Good, good, good. We need to watch this.
I need to see at least that.
Perfect.
Yeah, just, I don't know, to wrap it up, if we've missed any Amy Poehler moments that you love,
please
write in. I always want to talk about Amy Poehler. She's a gem. And so, write in. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at BingeList, or you can email us at bingelist@boxofficehits.gmail.com. We hope you love this episode. We definitely had a whole heap of fun. And as always, happy listening. Happy Monday.
Thanks, guys.